Rising pair of eyes says, I am good because of me. I am great because of me. God says, I hate it. I hate it. That's a technical. I hate that because you are giving yourself credit for who you are. What does God want from us? Does he want us to go and sing, I'm so sorry, I'm just worthless, I'm a loser, you know? Oh, God says, oh, great, what a wonderful loser. Is that what God wants from us? No. What he wants for us is to be honest and recognize, yes, I am good in this or I am good at that, and thank God I am. He wants us to recognize him. Isn't that simple?
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Out of Bounds by Dr. Abhinand Shah here at Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. Here at Clearview, we seek to make Christ visible in everything we do, whether that's how we worship or how we serve others. We'd love to see you here at one of our services at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson. And for more information on our church, check out clearviewbc.org. But for now, let's tune into this week's sermon.
Every game has its fouls, has its penalties. In soccer, it can be an offside or a handball. In football, it can be holding, illegal contact, delay of game, whatever, whatever. In ice hockey, I still haven't figured out how the fouls and penalties work there. No one knows unless you are from up north. In basketball, we know, you know, there's holding, there's charging, you know, there's a double dribble, and then, of course, out of bounds. There's so many ways that you can foul, you can cause a penalty. And the referee, the umpire, depends on the game, is responsible for calling those fouls or calling those penalties. So also, life is a game that has its fouls, that has its penalties. The Bible, the Word of God, is God's rule book on how to play this game of life. And God is much more than just a passive rule maker. He's not just the NBA executive committee that sits back and makes the rules and amends the rules. He is also the referee. He is also the umpire who calls us out when we fail to follow the rules. And unlike the earthly umpires or referees, he does not have to go and do a video review. I can't stand those things. Just call them, be done with it. He doesn't have to go and say, wait a minute, we may have made a mistake. Okay, no basket or no foul. He doesn't have to do that. He calls it right every time. And this morning, we are in our series, for those who are visiting with us or here after a while. It's a mini-series from the book of Proverbs called Skillful. And this is our third message. It's called Out of Bounds. And our next service will be our big basketball Sunday, as a lot of people will be here, a lot of kids will be here. This is a message directed towards them, but also towards all of us who are here this morning. You have your Bibles with you? Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Just like in any game, there are referees, and you get to know the referees. This guy doesn't like this. Don't do it. Or this umpire over here, man, this is his pet peeve. Do not try that. God hates certain things. And this morning, he actually gives us a list of things he hates. Yes, he hates these things. Let's all stand together. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Now, why does it say it that way? Very quickly, it's a Hebrew way of doing things. Six, but seven. In a sense, it is the list is much longer, but these seven things are very important. That's the way they would say it. Yes, six, but seven. Means this is not an exhaustive list, but these are the worst. So listen. Verse 17, what does God hate? Number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that are swift in running to evil. Number 6, a false witness who speaks lies. And number 7, one who sows discord among brethren. These are 7 things God says, I hate, and I will call you out, and I will eject you out of the game. Question for us before we look at this list carefully is, how are you playing the game of life? This was a tough message for me to prepare, because as I examined this, I had to ask the question, have I been making the same fouls? Nobody else is going to call it out. My team is going to be in my favor. The opposite team may have missed it, but he hasn't. He never does. And can you hear God's whistle? Can you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart saying, you know, this list represents you, or this thing, or these 2 things, 3, that's you. And do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't, right now, would you bow your heads? Never given your life to Christ, it's a simple prayer that says, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need you to be my Savior. I believe to the best of my ability that Jesus Christ is God's Son who came and died on the cross for my sins, and he is my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died, buried, rose again, and I want him to be my Savior, my King. The book of Proverbs, from which we just read a few moments ago, was written by King Solomon. Many of you have heard that name. King Solomon was the son of David, the great king of Israel. I encourage you to tell your children, your grandchildren, to read the book of Proverbs. Read a chapter a day. You will have the wisest man next to Christ. Of course, Christ is wisdom himself. You will have the wisest man sitting down and having a conversation with them. Wouldn't you like to have that? The most successful, the richest man, talking to your children one-on-one and giving them advice on life. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. But I want you to pay attention to how Solomon opens this book. Listen to Proverbs 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. Right from the get-go, he says, this is my purpose. Son, he's talking to his son, I'm going to teach you wisdom, understanding, and instruction in life. I can say a lot about this, and I've done it before in the previous messages and in the past. Solomon uses many words for wisdom in his book. But if there was one word that he uses more than any other, is the Hebrew word chokmah. Chokmah. Now, what does the word chokmah mean? Listen carefully. It means skill in living. Skill in living. Everyone lives life, but not everyone lives life skillfully. When you play the game of life, there are certain fouls, and God says, that's it. You're gone. And 7 are the worst. I mean, this is a list. 7 things God hates. Don't you want to know this morning what are those 7 things? I don't want to do those 7 things. Well, you're blessed. You're here this morning. We're going to look at those 7 fouls. Foul number 1. Arrogant eyes. Arrogant eyes. Listen to verse 17. What does God hate? Number 1, he hates a proud look. Now, we can misunderstand this, so let's look at it in the Hebrew. What does the Hebrew translation say? Literally, in the Hebrew, it is, God hates a rising pair of eyes. Rising pair of eyes? Means when you look up like this, God hates it? Does that mean he walked down, looking down the whole time? I mean, you're going to run into things. What does that mean? That God hates it when you look up. Not look up towards heaven, but you just look up. Does it mean that you cannot recognize the world around you? Does it mean that you cannot recognize your own abilities? No. Does it mean that you cannot compare yourself to other people? Keep looking down. No, if we believe that, we need to shut down all organized professional sports, because sports is about I'm better than him, or our team is better than that team. That's not what God has in mind. Well, thank goodness, there's an example in the scriptures where this phrase is actually used. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 10, and God uses it. Listen to Isaiah 10, verse 12. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, means when God has done what he wants to do for his people, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his haughty looks, his rising pair of eyes. Oh, wait a minute. What did the king of Assyria do? Verse 13. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. Oh, it makes sense now. You know what the rising pair of eyes is? It's not knowing that you are good at something, or that you are better than someone, or your team is better than some other team. It's got nothing to do with that. Rising pair of eyes says, I am good because of me. I am great because of me. God says, I hate it. I hate it. That's a technical. I hate that because you are giving yourself credit for who you are. What does God want from us? Does he want us to go and saying, I'm so sorry, I'm just worthless, I'm a loser, you know? Oh, God says, oh, great, what a wonderful loser. Is that what God wants from us? No. What he wants for us is to be honest and recognize, yes, I am good in this or I am good at that, and thank God I am. He wants us to recognize him. Isn't that simple? I love it. I love it, love it, love it when athletes or actors or artists or whoever, when they're giving an interview, because they're really stepping out on a limb when they do this. I love it when they say, I give God the credit for this. Don't y'all love that? Don't you love it when somebody says that? Hey, we won the game, or man, this movie was a hit, or this song was a hit, but I could not have done it without Jesus Christ. Do you know that's going to cost them some deals? But at that moment, God says, I love it. Keep playing. Keep playing. And by the way, you cannot go around looking at others' eyes. So don't end this message walking around seeing, does he have a proud eyes? No. This is for you to examine for yourself. Do you have? And by the way, the worst pair of arrogant eyes are the spiritually arrogant eyes, when you think you're better spiritually than someone else. When we have that spirit, God says, I hate it. That's a technical. Foul number two. Uncontrolled mouth. What does that mean, uncontrolled mouth? Well, listen again to verse 17. God hates a proud look, but he also hates a lying tongue. Now, this is not just about fudging the truth. We all lie at times, right? Any hands? No? A lot of cowards here. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. We all lie, folks. Come on. We all do. We all, if we were to live up to our own resumes, we'd be in trouble, right? We all fudge a little bit here and there. But the point here is not just a little falsehood here, a little incorrectness there. This is the idea behind it, is aggressive deceit. Aggressive deceit intended to harm the other person. Means you keep lying, you keep lying, you keep lying just to get someone in trouble. God says, I hate that uncontrolled mouth. Psalm 27, verse 12. It's a messianic psalm where it says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. This lying tongue is a destructive tongue. Please listen. Have you destroyed someone's reputation? Have you said things about someone when you should not have? God says, hey, that's a foul. Sometimes it's a flagrant foul. There was violence there. You cost someone their job. Some of you, if you're honest, you know someone, or maybe you've done it, I hope not. You cost someone a relationship. That's a flagrant foul. You hurt someone. Hey, do you ever say something like this? Hey, I'm saying this, but don't quote me on it. My question is, why shouldn't we quote you on it? Well, is it because you're not telling the whole truth? Is it because you have altered the truth? Or is it because you have made up the lie? Anonymous. Do you do anonymous stuff? Needs to stop. Not only is it an act of a coward, but it's also not truthful. Now, earlier I said we all lie, we all fudge the truth. Someone might say, well, I'm not an aggressive liar. I've never really done violence. But I want you to hear what it says in John 8:44. Jesus is saying these words. He's talking about Satan. He's talking about Lucifer. He said Lucifer was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Please listen very carefully. Every time you lie, whether it's a little white lie or a little fudging the truth, listen, you are claiming Satan as your father. How would you like to do that? The devil is my dad. And Satan is watching. He's listening. His minions are telling him, hey, someone over here just claimed you as their dad. Oh, really? Okay. I'll hold a family dinner. That's a foul. God says, I hate it when you have this kind of mouth, but I will extend it and say, do not lie at all. All right, foul number three. Blood-stained hands. Blood-stained hands. In basketball, illegal use of hands. Verse 17, hands that shed innocent blood. Kind of ties in with the uncontrolled mouth, but here you have actually done things. The very first example of innocent blood being shed was the first family where Cain killed his brother Abel. Why? Because God accepted Abel's offering and Cain was angry and he rose up in the field and he killed his brother in cold blood. But listen to what God said in Genesis 4:10. God said to him, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. I have no doubt you are wonderful, good people. No doubt. No doubt in my mind that you love the Lord. I mean, you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't. Maybe you're here for ulterior motives, but overall, maybe you're a good person. But I want to say to you very clearly, if at any point in your life you have shed innocent blood, I'm not talking about taking a knife or a gun to hurt somebody, but you have hurt someone. Hey, listen, please open your ears. It will come back to you. It always does. Joseph's brothers, they threw him in the pit. What happened? They had to stand before him and squirm. Joseph didn't say, okay, guys, it's all good. You know, I'm a gracious person. I don't deserve anything. You're my brother. You know, he made them go through that process of repentance. God will make you go through the process of repentance. Why? Because you just did something that was a foul. By the way, very quickly, our time is running away. Saul was that person. Saul always trying to kill David. Anytime somebody would come to him and say, hey, Saul, David is in the wilderness of Ziph, or David is over here, and there he would go. And his own son, Jonathan, cornered Saul and says, why are you doing this? Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? And what happened to Saul? He was killed. Isn't that horrible? Oh, you say, wow, David innocent. No, David wasn't innocent, because what did David do later on? He had an innocent man killed. Who was that? Uriah. In a moment of lust, he took Bathsheba and then tried to cover up the sin and tried to get her husband killed. God, the referee, saw it. He said, oh no, David, because of that foul, four of your sons will die. Foul number four, a scheming heart. A scheming heart. Why am I writing this? Hopefully, it will stay in your mind. You'll remember this. And maybe as you're listening to this, your conscience is not calling you out. Praise the Lord for that. Good. God has protected you. Doesn't mean that we always have to be guilty of everything. Here's number 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. Now, what is the heart? The heart is the immaterial part of us. Guard your heart. Hey, listen, especially if you are prone to be alone, you drive, or you are the kind of person who likes to work by themselves, or that's the kind of work you have, guard your mind. Satan will always find a way to get in. And it can be with all kinds of things. It may be lust. It may be pride. It may be greed. It may be anger. It may be battles that are not even there that you will start fighting. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. I think about something like September 11th. How many years were spent devising a very wicked plan? And all it did was destroy. Is that what you're doing? Do you have a scheming heart? Because the referee will call it out. I don't see it. He sees it. He calls it. Number five, wicked feet. Verse 18 again. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Now, God loves beautiful feet. He loves the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. He wants us to be swift in telling people about Jesus Christ. He wants us to be swift in being peacemakers. There's a quarrel, there's a fight going on. You are the peacemakers. Make things right as soon as possible before that person goes to the judge. Remember that? Jesus talked about it. Be quick. But here, the ref is calling it out when your feet are swift in running to evil. Now, what does that mean? It means a fascination and an excitement toward evil things. Those feet should have run towards goodness. Those feet should have run towards peace. Foul number six, corruption. Now, so far, you know, our body parts, just like in a, let's say, basketball, they're fouls. Because you pushed or you tripped somebody. There are fouls. You can see eyes, mouth, hands, heart, feet. But now, corruption. Just like in games, you throw the game. Throw the game. Nobody knew about it, but it came out. Somebody was taking money, betting on a game. Hey, listen, God sees it. Listen to what it says. In verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies. Now, we think only somebody in a court lying, but here it's a lying witness who does it to gain some money, just like in the trial of Jesus. In Matthew 26, the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. And even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two came and then said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Jesus never said that. He was talking about his body. And he made it clear. And there was one who took the money. Who was it? Judas. For how much? 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed the Son of God. You see, when there is corruption, hey, listen, in your life, have you been corrupt? Have you done things? You need to seek God's forgiveness. God hates it. Finally, foul number seven. Listen to what it says in verse 19. And one who sows discord among brethren. You know, in a ball game, too, that can happen. It happened in NBA at times. Even somebody sitting on the sideline excessively doing things, and the referee can call him out. That's a foul. and get them ejected if they don't stop. What they're doing is they're trying to cause trouble. It happens in churches too, folks. God says, I hate it. I hate it. I hate a pot stirrer. What do you do with a pot stirrer? Well, Proverbs 22:10 says very simply, cast out the scoffer. Scoffer is not just somebody who scoffs at you, but someone who sows discord, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Get rid of the gossip. Matthew 5:9, what are we supposed to do? We are to be the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Don't be a troublemaker. I can go on and on. Question for us this morning is, have you been called out? How many fouls are you committing? So how do we play the game of life? Don't miss this. You cannot play the game of life looking at the list of fouls. If you do that, you will be so scared, right? I don't want to mess up. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to get a foul. I don't want to get kicked out of the game. The purpose of the message is not to get you paranoid and scared to make a mistake. If your eyes are set on Jesus Christ, if His truth is in your heart, if your life is submitted to the Holy Spirit, you will play the game and win. You don't have to be looking at this list and say, oh, thank goodness, another day, another game over, and I don't know. Lord, did I? You don't focus on this, you focus on Jesus Christ. You focus on Him. That's why it's so important every day to have an intense and intentional relationship with Christ. You do that when you read God's Word. You do that when you pray. You do that when every moment, every decision you make, you look to Him. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Hey, listen, when you do that, these fouls will not happen. You take your eyes off of Him, and you'll start doing these things. So the question really is not, are you fouling? The question is, are you looking to Christ? Is His Word in your heart? Is the Holy Spirit guiding you? If not, today's the day to get back in the game. Would you stand together?
Thank you so much for listening to this message. In life, there are things that are out of bounds for the believer. There are even things that God would say He hates. But this list shouldn't paralyze us. It shouldn't cause us to live in fear, but it should motivate us to draw closer to God in every aspect of our life. For this sermon's notes, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com. And for more ways to get connected and plugged in here at Clearview, check out our website at clearviewbc.org. We have an awesome opportunity coming up here at Clearview. The One Marriage Conference coming up on March the 7th is an investment that can change the course of your marriage. Led by Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo of the One Extraordinary Marriage podcast and hosted here at Clearview, this weekend is open to both couples and singles, and it will transform your understanding of God's design for marriage. You can still register at oneliveevents.com. And for more information and other ways to get registered, call us in the church office at 252-438-8433. We hope to see you there on March 7th.